Today with Serena Ritter, she's international Ms. Illinois, we're going to go to the chat room and we're going to do the fantastic favorite five. That's all coming up today with our good friend Serena Ritter on the PageantCast.
Welcome to the PageantCast, your home for beauty pageant news and interviews on the internet.
Hi, I'm Skylar Witte, Miss Wisconsin USA 2017, and you are watching the PageantCast, the internet's first podcast about beauty pageants. Let's welcome your host, Tim Kretschmann.
You're watching the PageantCast. I'm your host, Tim Kretschmann, and so pleased that you could join us today because we have a very special guest in the other room here. Well, not in this room, in Connecticut. We're going to see Serena Ritter. She is International Ms. Illinois, and she's in Connecticut. Are you lost, Serena? What are you doing out there?
Oh, you know, just cruising around, checking out the beautiful scenery, seeing all the gorgeous people out here in the Northeast.
Fantastic. Now, do you do most of your travel on the east side, or are you just all over the United States?
I travel from Maine down to Connecticut, and then I travel from Delaware all the way down to South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Louisiana.
So, really, the best way to get a hold of you is simply Facebook. That's pretty well the way to go. All right, fantastic. Well, one of the things you've always been very involved is in your platform. So, Serena, could you tell us a little bit about Alphabet Kids? Are these kids that eat alphabets, or what is this about?
That's a good joke, Tim. I like it. That's cute.
All right.
Actually, Alphabet Kids is an international organization. And it's actually a several book series, and each one of the books focuses on a different child from a different ethnic background. The books are to encourage children to be more interested in reading, and also the underlying story of each book is about tolerance, how we don't all look the same here, but we all are the same on the inside. We all have a heart, we all have lungs, we all bleed. So it's just a subconscious way of telling the children that we are all the same. But I've been with the organization since 2011. And as part of being with the organization is education, reading, making sure that children have reading materials. So in 2011, when I joined them, I started doing book drives. I do year-long book drives. My book drives never end. So anytime anybody has a donation, I am always taking them on. I make appointments with different schools, preschools, organizations that are in need of literature. So that way, these children have something to read. Also, what I do is I encourage the schools and preschools and organizations to actually give each child a book. And then I also read them a story. So in the last 6 years, I've collected about 3,500 books that I have donated.
Now, I've always been interested in this, and you're the perfect person to ask. These days, people don't buy books like they used to. There's a lot of people using ebooks. I'm a huge ebook nut because I like being able to carry 1,000 different books with me at any time. Though, Lord knows, if I read three books at the same time, I get confused. So, all of a sudden, the guy that's in the vampire story is on the pirate ship, and I'm like, what's going on? So, is it harder to do book drives these days?
Honestly, I mean, I've had an overwhelming response. I feel that children's books are something that are still very popular. Even though kids like to be on the tablet or whatever it may be, there's so many amazing children books. Anytime you go in Barnes & Noble's, I mean, the children's section, it's packed.
It is
full of fun reading materials. So I think the kids are still drawn to that because to them, it's a tangible item and they could say, it's mine. I have this many books. So I think that also plays into why kids still like books. However, I think it also comes into play why the reading in the United States is lacking. I mean, the average reading level in the United States is between a fourth and an eighth grade reading level, where the majority of the United States is at a fourth grade reading level, where people are graduating from high school and not even getting to a high school level. And that's another reason I'm part of this. You know, there's so much opportunity that we have in this country. There's so much available nowadays, especially with social media. I want these kids to have an opportunity. And if there's any way that I can even get one kid interested in reading and moving forward and being excited about education, that I'm doing a good job. But I just want to see these kids grow and learn and be excited about their education, because it can be and will be the rest of their life what they do learn.
That's fantastic. You know, I just learned myself that one of my favorite actors growing up was, I'm from Milwaukee, so of course I watch a lot of Happy Days, and I found out that Henry Winkler, the Fonz, he was dyslexic, or he still is dyslexic, actually, and he wrote a number of books about having dyslexia for kids, for second grade through, I think it's fourth grade, that he has. And I guess I'm kind of out of the whole reading kids' books part of my life. I read a lot of technical magazines these days, but fantastic. Well, we are going to go to what is everybody's least favorite game show. It's Ooh. Coming here, and I have to apologize in advance because it's extremely, extremely difficult, and you don't have a ghost of a chance. It's just not going to happen for you. It's going to be very, very sad. But what we are about, be prepared for the stinging defeat that is about to happen, because you are about to be introduced to the Fantastic Favorite Five! That's right, the Fantastic Favorite Five, everybody's least favorite game show. What we do, Serena, here is, first of all, the rules. Number one rule, Tim always wins. Number two rule, Tim will win even if he has to change the rules midstream. Third, what's going to happen? I'm going to ask you what your favorite of something is. You're going to answer, and then I'm going to make up a trivia question about it. Here's how I'm cheating. I'm making the genres of things that I'm asking about stuff that I know a lot about. So that's going to happen, and also I'm just going to cheat regularly throughout the thing. So we're going to start things off with asking you, what's your favorite horror movie?
Ooh, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm going to give you an easy trivia question to start you off with. What is the name of the actor that played Freddy?
Robert Englund.
Excellent! Good job! Woo! You actually got a point, and I'm not going to take it away from you just for fun. So you're going to actually keep that point, which is unusual in this show. Next, what is your favorite theme park or theme park ride?
My favorite theme park, I'm going to have to say, is Cedar Point.
That is an excellent choice. Should I make it difficult or hard?
Bring it on, Tim. Bring it on.
All right. What's the name of the tallest roller coaster at Cedar Point?
Top Thrill Dragster.
Very good. That's two in a row. Excellent. That puts you in the lead, which is very unusual. And I'm going to have to enact rule number 74, which is when you get an early lead, we switch point totals. So you are now at 0 and I'm at 2. Thank you very much. So here we go with our third question. You have some digging out to do, young lady. So we're going to go now with your favorite TV show. What is your favorite TV show?
The Golden Girls.
Okay, and I'm going to have to vote against you. You're wrong. That is a terrible TV show. So you've lost now at this point. But we're going to just keep playing just for fun at this point. Your favorite movie genre?
My favorite movie genre would have to be... Oh, that's a really tough one. There's... Action. I grew up sitting on my dad's
action.
Lap, and my mom would sneak off to the grocery store, and my dad would put in any Arnold Schwarzenegger movie or Stallone, so I would have to say action.
Excellent. I love action movies. Let's see. Okay, what is the name of the tower that is under assault in the movie Die Hard?
Oh, my dad's going to be so mad I don't know this.
That's why I asked it. This is one that is possible. I actually asked you a possible, but since I have a comfortable lead, I felt generous. You don't know? You don't remember the grisly murder of Mr. Nakatomi at the Nakatomi Plaza? That's right. Yeah. Remember Hans Gruber? I'm going to count to three. There will not be a four. Yeah.
Good
stuff. I love Alan Rickman. Okay. Your favorite fictional character?
Oh, come on. That's such a hard question.
Too bad. Too bad. Don't worry. I'm feeling comfortable. I already won.
Exactly. You already won. That's so not fair. Oh, Tim.
I'm hard.
My favorite fictional character would have to be Barbie.
Barbie. Really? Wow. You know what? Usually I do get a TV or a movie star, not a character or a corporate identity or something like that. So this is fascinating.
Okay, I'll give you one. I'll give you my all-time favorite that is not Barbie. Doris Day.
Doris Day,
hands down, is my all-time
favorite. She's not a fictional character.
But she's still my favorite.
That would be your favorite actress or celebrity.
I know. But she should be everything.
I have to think of something with Barbie. In what movie do monstrous Barbies attack under the direction of G.I. Joe type figures?
The Lego Movie?
No.
Or no.
I think it's a 90s movie.
Toy Story?
It is directed by Joe Dante, which I know won't help you. That's why I gave it to you.
Okay, I need a clue. Okay.
I did.
I need a clue.
Small Soldiers, ladies and gentlemen. Aww. Small Soldiers. Great movie. I think it's like 91 or 92. A lot of fun, and there are some monstrous Barbies that go to town on people in that thing. It's a great movie. And mainly forgotten, particularly by you, Serena. So I'm sorry that was a horrendous destruction that just happened there. Very sad.
I know.
But luckily, you can congratulate me on my win at this point.
Tim, I'm going to congratulate you on your cheating win.
What? Oh.
You stole my points. You stole my original points.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Those are the rules. Those are the rules. Okay, just for that, we're going to the chat room, everybody. Questions from the chat room. We do have some questions in the chat room. Okay. Been pretty quiet in there. So, in this next pageant, that you have entered, what do you think the judge will be looking for? What do you think the judges are looking for in this one?
I think the judges are going to be looking, just like any pageant, I think that they're going to be looking for the best overall candidate. I think that they're looking for somebody that is extremely well-spoken. They're looking for somebody that has drive, determination, also the willingness to take on this big responsibility and promoting this pageant system.
Now, you talked about great communication skills. You obviously have communication skills. One of the questions I get all the time from folks is, are you just that way? Did you train? Were you natural? Did all the competing actually develop that for you? How did it happen for you, Serena?
I honestly think it's a combination. I was in theater all my life, so I'm going to definitely credit my theater teacher, Mr. Krein. He definitely made such a huge impact on my life and was always saying, Serena, project. And he really brought me out of my shell. But competing in pageantry as far as public speaking, it really solidified that for me. It made me very confident in what I'm doing. So I am very, very thankful that day I decided to do pageants. It definitely paid off.
Fantastic. Well, Serena, we have to ask you about what last thing do you want to tell our viewers about your year of service?
Well, I want to tell you guys that this really means something to me. I enjoy doing pageantry because I feel that it is rewarding. I believe that the work that I do with my charity truly makes a difference in all of these kids' lives. I believe that your book donations truly make a difference. So everything that I'm doing, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it because I want to leave a lasting impact on somebody else. You know, my mom always told me, my grandmother always told me that, you know, you can live your life, but it's what you leave behind is what's going to really matter. And I want my legacy someday to be that I made a difference, that I helped children, that I helped them be who they are. And it could be just as simple as giving that child a book, reading them a story, giving them that confidence and support that they need by being a great role model. And every single day when I put on that crown and sash and I go to an appearance, I'm excited about it. Whether I'm reading to kids or I'm supporting my fellow pageant sisters, whatever it may be, I truly, truly enjoy doing this, and I'm so excited for the future. I'm so excited for the international Ms. Pageant system and everything that it holds in front of me and my fellow sister queens, and I absolutely cannot wait to meet everybody in New York. So please follow my journey. It really means a lot to me, and I am very grateful for everybody that has stood by my side all these years since I decided to start competing.
Fantastic, Serena. Now, I just peeked, and we do have one last question in the chat room, and I think it's a great way for us to end our interview. It's, what will you do if you win?
That is a wonderful question. Well, anytime you're going into a pageant, you should have a plan. And I definitely have a plan, so I don't want to spill all the beans for what I have going on, because I want to be able to talk to the judges about it as well. But I have a plan in place of how I want to bring this pageant to the next level and incorporate new states, countries. So you'll just have to stay tuned for everything that I have coming up and the next week and a half coming up to the International Ms. Pageant and find out everything I'm planning on doing and talking about.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time tonight, Serena. Now, as you know, at the end of these episodes, I like to see your best pageant wave. So Serena, let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Now this time, let's see. Okay, she's doing a high angle.
I'm so ready.
Okay, let's see it. Hit us with it. Oh,
yay!
Fantastic. Now, are you a open mouth smiler or are you a closed mouth smiler?
I'm both.
You're both. Okay.
Both.
I find I can't smile. I am so bad. I cannot smile naturally unless I'm laughing. Otherwise, it's
really?
Like this. I can't do it. It's just sad, and people ask me, what's wrong with your dental cream? So I always have to laugh. And then I might get a laugh. But, you know, then the smile might develop. But if I think about it, then it's all over. I'm done.
Oh.
So you just let yourself light up. That's so fantastic. Serena, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And why don't you look in that camera and give us one last Tierra Dreams.
This is my Tierra Dreams.
Join the Facebook group that's taking Facebook by storm, the Great Lakes Pageant Scene. It's a forum for pageants held in states bordering the Great Lakes, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and even into the province of Ontario. This is no void forum. We don't allow bashing, but we do allow great pageant results, pageant contestant and title holder appearance announcements, photos, videos, podcasts, and articles. That's the Great Lakes Pageant Scene on Facebook.
Submitting material to the pageant cast is as easy as 1, 2, 3.
Come up with an idea. We know you have some. An appearance? A crowning?
Record a brief video on your phone or webcam and remember to include your title and name.
Send it to submit at pageantcast.com.
Videos are best, as we are a video show after all, but we do take photos and stories.
Get yours in now before the competition for space gets too big. We want your submissions.
You. This is EZS 1, 2, 3.